From the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
As Jesus was going up to Jerusalem, he took the 12 disciples aside by themselves and said to them on their way, "Behold, we're going up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man will be handed over to the chief priests, the scribes, and they will condemn him to death, hand him over to the Gentiles, to be mocked and scourged and crucified. And he will be raised on the third day." Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee approached Jesus with her sons and did him homage, wishing to ask him for something. He said to her, "What do you wish?" She answered, "Command that these two sons of mine sit, one on your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." Jesus said in reply, "You do not know what you are asking. Can you drink the chalice that I am going to drink?" They said to him, "We can." He replied, "My chalice you will indeed drink, but to sit on my right and my left, this is not mine to give, for it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard this, they became indignant at the two brothers. But Jesus summoned them and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and the great ones make their authority over them felt, but it shall not be this way among you. Rather, whoever wishes to be great among you shall be your servant. Whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave. Just so the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Yesterday, we know, Jesus made a huge point in the Gospel that the greatest would be the servant of the rest. And we saw that he wanted us to be the servant of the rest by making justice our aim, redressing wrong suffered by others, defending the widows and the orphans, and so much more. Today, Jesus reiterates the point for us, and he builds on it. He makes it even stronger. Some of the times we can think, for example, that serving others is going to bring, in this world, its own rewards. People are going to be grateful for it. People are going to thank. We're going to get the reputation for being a good, kind person. I mean, normal things that would be typically expected. But Jesus wants to set us up for something more. Today in the Gospel, it's the third prediction of his passion. And as we've discussed before, every time Jesus predicts his passion, rather than bringing out genuine compassion on the part of his followers, it brings out the absolute lowest, most base, raw ambition. When he announced it the first time, St. Peter said, "God forbid it, Lord, it shall never happen to you." And Jesus had to call him Satan to wake him up. When he announced the second time, coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration, confronted by the father of the sick boy and the lack of faith, not just on the part of the dad that needed to grow, but also on the part of the 9 apostles who were at the foot of the mountain, that they weren't responding to Jesus' example of prayer and fasting enough to be able to drive that out. They immediately changed the subject as they were talking on the road to who would be the greatest. And here we see the most conspicuous example of fallen ambition, soon as Jesus describes in great detail how he's going to be condemned, betrayed, mocked, scourged, and crucified. John and James get their mother. I think it's the second lamest thing in all of sacred scripture to the time in which Aaron put gold into the furnace and just, voila, out came a golden calf. He had nothing to do with it whatsoever. I think that this is the second lamest thing in all of sacred scripture. They're too ashamed to ask on their own, so they get their mother to do it. Immediately right after Jesus says that he's a dead man. I want you to do whatever I ask of you. Command that these two sons of mine sit, one at your right and one at your left, in your kingdom. But Jesus had chosen the sons of Zebedee. He had chosen them precisely because he knew that they were capable of what he was going to challenge them to do. They were going to be weak, but Jesus was going to convert their ambition into a true one. He was going to chasten and purify their natural desires and make them supernatural. So after telling the mother and the sons, you don't know what you're asking, he says to the sons, can you drink the chalice I'm going to drink? The chalice of suffering, the chalice in a sense that the angel would give Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, the chalice that the suffering servant in Isaiah would describe. They said, we can. Jesus said that they would, but he's not going to give the seats at the right and his left. That's for whom the Father would prepare it. And it seems that just like Jesus didn't know ahead of time who would be the one who would confess him to be the Messiah and the Son of God, that was God the Father's work. And it was a revelation of Simon, son of Jonah, when Jesus asked the question. So here, Jesus was going to wait until the good and the bad thief took those spots. But then Jesus wanted to build on the lesson that we were hearing yesterday about service. I don't want you to serve the way you do in the middle of the world, he would say. You know how people behave out there. He starts with the rulers of the Gentiles, making their authority felt, lording their position over others. This isn't going to be the way it'll be among his disciples. Rather, whoever wishes to be great must become the servant among the rest, as we were talking about yesterday. The real servant among the others with whom they're living, with whom they're serving, and from there flow outward. And then he finishes by saying, just so, in the very same way, I came not to be served but to serve. And then he built on it. To give my life to ransom others' lives, to take their place on death row, to take their place in slavery. That's the type of service I'm doing for you. I'm giving myself as a ransom for you. Can you drink this chalice, John and James? It's not just doing any old service. It's just not the exercise of growing in humility by caring for others. The ultimate service that Jesus wants is that we will give our life for him and for others as a ransom. Again, many times we can think that our service ought to be rewarded in this world. It's fitting. We want to serve people who at least have the basic class to say thank you, to be grateful, to give us the encouragement that what we're doing is making a difference. But that's not what Jesus was laying down his life as a ransom for the apostles. They were jockeying for position as if he had come to establish an earthly messianic kingdom. And we need to learn from Jesus that as he gives us this service, his service to us is going to be our great reward. That's where we're going to get the energy and the enthusiasm to continue to serve others. If we're looking at it from others, we will often be disappointed. We see this illustrated in the young Jeremiah in today's first reading. The book of Jeremiah is a beautiful book because it shows his extraordinary growth and cooperation with the Lord. It shows the real human reality of what it means sometimes to be a servant of the rest. The people of Judah and the citizens of Jerusalem said, come, let us contrive a plot against Jeremiah. will not mean any suffering for us. We won't lose our instructions from the priests. We won't lose the counsel for the watch or the message of the prophets. Let's destroy him. Let's catch him with his own tongue. Let's carefully note his every word. Jeremiah had signed up reluctantly to do the Lord's will. He had made the various excuses, including that he was too young. And when he actually reluctantly went out and started to do the Lord's will and announce the Lord's message, he gets this. Not gratitude for the gift of salvation that the Lord was giving, but that the people were contriving a plot against him to catch him in his speech. They were listening to his word not because it was, thus says the Lord. They were listening to his word so that they could lynch him. So Jeremiah turned to the Lord and prayed, "Heed me. Listen to what my adversaries are saying. Must good be repaid by evil, that they should dig a pit to take my life? Remember, Lord, I stood before you to speak in their behalf, to turn your wrath away from them. I was interceding with you for them, and this is what I'm getting. It just ain't fair, Lord." He was being asked to give his life as a ransom for the many, to give a service that wouldn't even bring with it the recompense of gratitude. This is where the Lord advances us today on what he did yesterday. He wants us to face squarely the fact that in this world we may not be thanked. In this world, even those we're trying to help might seek to bite the hand that feeds them. But Jesus gives us this gospel because he wants us to have that ambition to serve in such a way that we're not looking for an earthly recompense. And he asks us today, can you drink the chalice to drink? Can you, together with me, join me in making our lives a ransom for others? Will you lay down your life to save others' lives? If we do, then even if we're not thanked on earth, even if others, it seems, to conspire for our demise, the Lord will say to us, "Good and faithful servant, well done." And he will allow us to drink his eternal cup to overflowing. Sisters, this might not seem like the happiest message at 6:45 in the morning, but it really is part of the good news. Praise be Jesus Christ.
Now and forever.